What is this shift?
There we go.
Here we go. My mic sounds nice. Welcome to
Ready,
Shift Hit
ready,
the
ready.
Fan. Mm-hmm.
Welcome, welcome, shifty bifties.
Welcome, Shift Heads. Welcome, one and all. The Shift Hit the Fan. Ooh, I got a little dizzy right there.
Oh, not the dizzy.
All right, we tried something different today with the Tarot. What was the name of your electronic deck?
So I just so I didn't have a deck today. So I was like, all right, how am I going to participate in this drawing? And so I asked Je Google Gemini, Google Gemini, what is my tarot reading for the day? And it technically gave me three cards, but I chose the first one, which was the sun. And yeah, there it is. And that's and then I asked it to generate an image for me for the sun tarot, and that's what it gave me.
Oh, so it generated the image for you? Wow.
So that is
That's
an
cool.
AI generated tarot card for today.
And mine is one of them GIFs that, go really fast, and you're supposed to close your eyes and take a breath and screenshot. So this is what I screenshot. What does it say? La terra, la lege. The law and the land.
And
The
the
land and the
law.
law. Yep.
I thought these were pretty cool combination here.
Yeah, really great contrast.
Combination.
Combo, contrast, cycle. They're a really good pairing.
On the one hand, you get the sun, the life-giving force of the earth, and in the other, you have the physical embodiment of the earth, the thing that the energy resides in, the container of the energy. Energetic container, and then you have the law for which that container is that binds that energy together and tells us how that energy is works together. And then you have this beautiful goat just navigating this earthly experience, nimbly crossing the mountains, the terrain that we have all around us. And then we get this beautiful youthfulness of a child riding along on his noble steed, guided along the way. And I love that the goat's going to take the path, but and just like us, we're going to be taking our own path, and maybe we're following in similar pathways of others, but our footsteps are going to be unique in every step that we take. Our own life experience, and maybe we'll be navigating different terrain from another person, but we get to navigate it. We have our own uniqueness that we get to experience. And the earth continues to provide that abundance of life, that abundance of experience, while the sun continues to drive the energy forth for us. And we get to decide how we want to use that energy in our life.
What I saw was like the cycle of a day, this is the that's where, for me the law lives. Like this is just what we have to work with, what we work within. So there's that the innocence, the play, the light in the sun, and then the mastery in the darkness, being the goat. And like you were saying, the nimbly crossing or climbing the land. He's standing on a cliff at the edge, at the very, very edge, like where the it's hard to see because it's so dark, but sort of like the fool, standing at the edge of the cliff. This guy stopped because he knows, because he's so familiar with the darkness, with the land. So, that shows mastery. For me, it's almost like how to master the day, the full 24 hours that we're given in these current set of rules for what a day consists of. And there's including both the youth, the playfulness, the innocence, and the like a child with a old soul is what I'm getting. And mastery just keeps coming to mind with
Here's my
this.
question around mastery. Do we ever truly master something?
No, but like it's the process of not even a master would say that they're a master, right? Because they know they're constantly learning. But because you put yourself in that position to try to master something on that. So it's like there's an intentionality, there's a good use of your time because you're constructing, you're deconstructing, you're using your time in the night and the day for just, being for, because there's a lot of stillness in this one. While the sun, there's more movement in it, the horse is still. There's just 1 foot forward, like it's about to take a step, but it's still. And so is the goat. So you've got it's like being, and that's where the mastery is in the being, the stillness, the being present, being in the night and in the day. And yeah.
My thought with what you said is the master ever truly a master? Or like, no, is like even a master knows that they don't control everything. It just reminds me of it kind of goes along with my philosophy that I have in life of where I see the law and pattern that I see in life is that a true master allows the agency of others. A true leader allows it the agency, the free choice of others to act in the way that they need to act. And in doing so, it draws in a desire to follow. Because you've honored somebody else's choice, the other person will often want to follow you and see you as a leader. And so in our mastery of our body, of this life, I think as we give that agency for life to act for itself, it will come to us. It'll give us the things that we ask of it, or it the life will want to follow us because it knows that it has its own agency, and we know that we have our own agency. We have our own freedom to choose. We are agents unto ourselves, but that means just to ourselves. And so when we're going and asking life to give us things, we're doing it in a way that gives it its own agency to work for itself, to have that ability to give us the things that it would like to give us as well. And I think that's a beautiful part of manifestation is that, yes, you're asking for very specific things when you're manifesting something. You're creating this dream, you're creating this vision, you're creating. You're pulling out of your mind this beautiful vision and dream and asking for it to come to life and acting on that creation of it. And in return, life gives us that request. The universe, God, whatever we call it, it gives us that request in a way that leaves mystery. So it's not going to be exactly the way we asked it for it. But it will be in many ways very specific to the way we asked for it because we honored the universe for being willing to act on our behalf.
I was thinking of the mastery of the goat and how skillful they are in climbing mountains, like literally the edge, the side of the cliff, the walls of cliffs. And I was thinking of monks that also do similar things. I think of this video where there are people who are they're mountain climbing, but they're on the rope. And the people are struggling on the rope, trying to get themselves up, and then they pan over, and there's a monk just walking up barefoot on the side of the mountain, like nothing.
Like a mountain goat.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's the most natural thing. And I think that's where the mastery is starting to and why mastery keeps coming to mind as I look at this. It's like it's in the not effort, because here we are as people trying to y use tools, use ropes, and to go up a mountain, because we think it's something that we can't attain. We think it's hard. If we look at it from standing over here, it looks overwhelming. It's a huge mountain. I'm going to need tools. I'm going to need other people. There's no way I'm going to do this, you know. And then there's this one guy all alone, just like being in there moment to moment, not taking in the full mountain to climb the mountain. It's one step at a time. And I think that's where the perspective of master is in the observer watching somebody do something effortlessly. So the master lives as a conversation, as a context for somebody thinking that that thing out there is impossible. I need to practice. I need to do all these things to get there. And that's where I think the mastery is not in the perception of the master, but the one who's being effortless, the one who's being still, the one who's being present in the moment and just doing the thing, not taking in everything that has to be done to do that thing. I also started thinking about how I was as a child when I discovered that I could draw. I just wanted to draw every day. I wasn't trying to get better. I was just trying to draw every day and trying to see if I could do harder and harder drawings. The goal wasn't to be better. I already knew I was an artist because I saw my first drawing, and because I knew that my dad, well, I thought my dad was an artist until I saw, like, as a child, his little scribbles did look like art to me. Then I see them as an adult, those same little scribbles, I'm like, oh, that was the perception of a child thinking, wow, that's really good. So that, you know, perception of my dad making these amazing little doves that he would draw all the time as like, oh, I must be good too then. And that just instantly, I stepped into it without having to work at it. And the practice of just doing it, just to do it, because I liked it, because I was so happy that I could do it, and then happy about the reactions that I would get from people. That's how I actually got good without realizing it.
Love that. I
Yeah.
think about my own process with intuition and stick work and the different things that I've involved myself with. There's something to beginner's luck that kind of happens where it's like, I'm just going to try this. I'm just going to go experience it. And I start experiencing it. And then I set an expectation and then I try to meet that expectation and try to repeat it and it doesn't work. But what I've found is that if I allow my body to just experience the thing, not like we have this, there's the conscious mind and then there's the unconscious mind, and there's so much going on in the background in the unconscious mind. There's constant learning that we're not consciously doing on our own. Like we had this conscious experience, but there's so much to our body and our everything that we are, that we call us, that is learning how to do this thing that we're doing. And so as I've gone through my training with stick work and training with intuition and training with all these different topics, I've learned to just let my body experience the thing, to just be in this moment and just do the thing. And then let that come up in the way that it needs to later on. Like I didn't have to memorize the things that I did. I didn't have to bring it back up. I didn't have to do any of those things. I come back, and whenever I'm practicing stick work on somebody or doing a tarot reading or something like that, I just say, all right, I trust my body to just give me the message that it needs to that needs to come out, or the work that needs to come out. And again, it goes back to that same principle I was talking about of, in a lot of ways, I am mastering the skill. But I'm not doing it in a way that I am the slave driver of my body. I'm not saying, body, you need to do exactly this as I'm telling you. I'm saying, all right, body, I trust you. Let's do this together. And my body's like, yeah, let's do it. And we, to, you know, I say we as my body, like, as my body separate, because for me personally, I see my body as its own individual intelligence. Like there are so many different aspects of intelligence that are happening in my body, whether that's just the little organisms that are, little bacterial organisms that are breaking down things in my gut or whatever's going on. There's so many different, what I would say, intelligences that are working together to create this experience that I have. And my conscious experience is just simply saying, hey, I want to make this choice. Let's go experience this thing. And my body is willing enough to say, okay, let's do it. And I'm not forcing it. I'm not trying to, I'm just trusting the process of whatever is going to happen and allowing failures, allowing mistakes, allowing stumbles, allowing pain, allowing suffering, allowing those things to happen as they come, because I trust that those are just part of the process. It's just a part of the experience that is life.
Yeah. I'm really glad you asked what mastery is. Like that you put it in that way, that because this is something that I have been struggling with myself. Forgetting just, trying to take in the whole mountain, because that wasn't coming to me until you said the thing about mastery. And I've been working like that with other things, like trying to understand, like trying to get my message about certain things. Lately it's been about detachment and enlightenment, and what is it, asking those questions of the people that I'm interacting with, so that I can get my own message clearer. And I realized that that's what's been missing in my, until this conversation, what's been missing in my approach to healing myself. Because what came to me also is, like, when I started healing my body, I just focused on the most painful thing, the thing that most didn't allow me to rest. And I just focused on that, sent that love, just loved it until it stopped hurting. And then I put out the next fire, right? The next thing that needed attention, the next biggest thing, right? Little by little, just focusing on the one thing rather than trying to take in everything that was going on. And now I've gotten to this point where I think I could finally, and this is the answer to the question that I've been having: why didn't I know about this part of the situation that I've been dealing with, the physical situation? Like, if I would have known sooner, I could have done, things differently. But there's the law, right? There's a way that things work best, and my body's trying to teach me that. My intuition's trying to teach me that. My higher self, whatever it is, I'm trying to be guided into, there is a process, there is a way that it's going to work best, and I should just focus on the thing that's there, that's the biggest issue, the one that's calling my attention the most. Rather than trying to master all of magic, right? Or all of healing, or not celebrating the wins, but like, why hasn't this part, what, like all the questions of why I'm still in this situation for so long, knowing that I know how to heal, right? So it's forgetting that there is the being, the specific things that need attention at the right time. Timing is everything, day and night. And it makes a difference to do things as they're calling you, rather than trying to do everything. So yeah.
Definitely. And I think, like, to me, that's that goes, it says that there is such a finite amount of consciousness that we can have. Like, consciousness is just this, what we're experiencing right now. And our attention in that consciousness can only go so many directions. Like, we can only have our attention on so many different things at a time. And so our consciousness is limited in that. how many different ways can we split our attention? One way I have what I'm saying right now, I'm looking at you, and I have the other thing that's in my attention right now is like the sensation in my leg. And but that's all I can really control. I'm not really controlling my bowels. I'm not controlling, my heart. I'm not controlling my breath at the moment. Like, those aren't things that I'm putting in my consciousness. But if I put my attention on that, on those areas, for me, half the magic of energy work, of anything, is just, where do I put my consciousness? Where do I put my attention? And that gives power to whatever source I'm giving that attention to. And so we can say, well, what in this moment, that whole idea of the power of now, what in this moment am I going to give the power of my attention, the power of my consciousness to? And everything else, I just need to trust that it will be okay, that it'll keep existing in the way that it needs to exist.
I think of how, I mean, we actually take in a lot more than we realize, but the purpose of that, what we're conscious of, what we're aware of, is to have that focused attention. And as you were talking, the thing that came to mind was, oh, I was given what I'm supposed to be focusing on for the year with that 12 magical nights thing. My 13th wish is the thing that I'm supposed to be focusing on, the only thing I'm supposed to be focusing on. Because, and it's like the other thing that I was thinking as you were talking is trusting that you've got the rest of it. Like, even if you don't realize you've got it, just because you think you need to somehow micromanage it or handle it yourself somehow, you still got it. Like, your body is that part of you and the universe, it's all that part of you that's handling things for you. So you don't need to focus on everything, just the one thing at a time. And my one thing is supposed to be my nervous system. Yep.
That's cool.
Good talk.
I love that you brought that thing that we did, that manifestation activity, the 12 nights that we did. Because in that we had 13 wishes that we wrote down. We drew 12 of those wishes, didn't look at them, burned them for each one for each month, and had a tarot card to set to give us a little direction for it. But that 13 wish is the only thing that we have to focus on. And I think there's so much beauty to that. Like, that out of 13 wishes, we do one out of 12, or one out of 13. And it to me, again, it's like the unconscious side of us, the things that we are not conscious to, it's so much grander than what we can actually be conscious to. And I was thinking of that word enlightenment, bringing light to something, the process of bringing light to something. But I don't think that means seeing everything. It doesn't mean having this big, wide vision and being able to just be what we consider the grand consciousness of life, of the universe. I think enlightenment is, what are we giving light to right now? Can we bring light to what, or in bring light and presence? Can we shine light on what we are actually observing in this moment? What's actually going on within us? And I think sometimes we get so caught up in these stories, these narrations, the conceptual sides of things, these mental creations that we have, and we're so focused on those creations and not really breaking it down to say, well, what's really going on right now? What's Like, can I see the perspective and those creations that I'm holding on to? Can I back away and look at those for what they are? Can I be in my senses? Can I feel, touch, taste, smell, see, hear the different things that are going on around me? Can I break everything down into the most simple truths that they are and recognize what comes from that?
Yeah, it sounds like enlightenment is the result of where you have your focus attention, because you're focusing that thing, and what you focus on brings things to light within the realm of that thing, which also brings in, for me, like the clarity on what I've been trying to bring to with detachment, because that's sort of how I described detachment, where, because people think there's numbness in detachment, and there's, I don't know, just like all these negative things of, I don't want to be numb, I don't want to shut down, I don't want to mask and all this stuff. But for me, when we're detaching, it's because we are so focused on this one thing. Like, I used rage as an example. The way that I detach from rage is I inspect it. I notice it. I don't try to change anything about it. I'm just experiencing rage at its fullest. Can I add to it? Can I, you know, at some point, like, can I make this more? Or, you know, can I just let it be? Can I just let it exist? And the more that I like, does it have a name? Does it have a shape? Does it have an origin? Does it have, what other thoughts is it pulling in with this? So it's like all this attention, it's actually creating a form of its own. It's giving it its own identity, which detaches it from me. The more that I give to it, and that's like the shedding of the light onto it, because I'm paying attention to it, because I'm honoring it, because I'm not trying to fix or change it, make it wrong. I'm letting it exist as it is and feeling everything that that it's wanting to feel. It's like this is the attention that it wants. And so it becomes its own thing. Now I can hold it as if it's its own being. It could be a child, it could be a baby, it could be a ball, anything, you know. I can give it its own form, whatever form it wants to take, and I can hold it and I can honor it. And that's how you make friends with the monsters, is that you honor it in that way. And that's where you know this is not me. It doesn't have to consume me, and it can help me. I'm not going to get rid of it. I'm not going to push it out. I'm not going to send it back out in the world, you know, for it to take another host. I'm gonna honor it for what it is, because this is the thing that's come from through me, from me, for whatever reason. And I don't want to. It's gonna serve a purpose sometime. We don't, you know, the goal isn't to be peaceful and calm all the time. It's to be whole, human, to include everything. So I don't want to numb myself to it. I want to embrace it, you know? Yeah.
I think that with detachment, there's the two sides. There's the numbing that you could experience. Like, I'm pushing all these feelings down. I'm not going to feel them. But I think that that doesn't actually create a calm. That's this fake inner tension. You know, you're storing that energy somewhere else. You're not actually feeling it. You're not letting it like flow through you. I think true calm with detachment, or I think true detachment is a calming, because you are feeling things, allowing the energy to flow. You're not storing it. You're not building it up. You're not the way that I was thinking it, of it, is that you're not defining yourself as what you are feeling, because you can have these emotions. You can have sadness. You can feel love. You can feel anger. You can feel giddy. You can feel whatever all these different emotions are, and know that they are beautiful, and then still be able to act on your own behalf, and know that, hey, I'm feeling this way, and it's beautiful, and I'm okay. I'm okay with whatever's going on. It kind of gives you the freedom to act for yourself, and your mind is not being consumed and defined. Your consciousness is not being consumed and defined by those emotions that you have, by the definitions that you hold in life. And I think that's what true detachment is in my mind. And what I felt in experience is that, yeah, I can feel angry at this moment, but I also recognize I don't need to be angry for this. You know, I can use anger as a tool. I can use different behaviors as a tool as I wish, but my behaviors and emotions can be two different things.
I was thinking of a drawing that I did. I only have it as a video, so I was trying to see if I can get a still shot of it. Sort of like, if you can see, but this is, that's me at right there petting it, this giant beast, because I have a video of me drawing it in the moment and talking about it, right? And the purpose of it was to see what shape that evil, what shape the evil was taking. And I didn't even look at it, right? I just felt the energy behind me, and I put my hand back because I'm looking at the guy in front of me who was affected by it. I could see the terror in his face and why he's behaving. I know he's possessed by this. I know he had no other choice from his perspective to behave that way, right? But I feel the energy, and I just focus on him. I absorb it all into my hand. And I said, the only thing you need to fear is me here to him. And then I told him that, I was basically telling him how to master his mind after that, so that these things don't consume him, right? And then when I turned and look, that's where this monster comes in. He's been tamed from me just having that attention of, because this is the hand that receives, right? So I'm receiving all of the evil. I'm receiving, because I've been trying to make sense of this dream for a little while. That's why I wanted to draw and talk about it, right? It's like I'm receiving it just as it is. And then when I turn around to finally look at it, when it's all taken in by me, I've received it fully. The shape that it's actually taken, it's taken its own little form, was this massive beast, tame beast, who has sort of the face of Falcor, the luck dragon from the Never Ending Story, right? Except he's got dark brown fur instead. I loved it. I love that it's all making sense, that how all of that happened in the dream, and how I've been befriending my monsters. These are just more evidence of this mastery that I'm not, it's like trying to master my mind, so that I'm not easily controlled, that I'm not manipulated and all this stuff. But it's I don't even have the context of I'm mastering my mind. I'm just doing it, a little bit at a time. How can I inspect this one thing, like we were inspecting enlightenment and mastery? What does it mean? And what is the other thing? Rage, and now evil. So everything gets a form when it has the when it's received, when it becomes its own thing.
It kind of so something that I was thinking of just now was there's kind of two spectrums of consciousness that I kind of see. There's one where you are immersed in the feelings, immersed in the action, and immersed in this experience where you're feeling the anger and you're expressing that anger and you're just letting it flow and letting the anger kind of take control. And I think that's one form of experiencing this life. And then there's one where you just step back and watch, where you're the observer, where you can see the emotion happening. You can see that you have the senses that are happening right now, and you have all these different base level sense that you see, and you're just experiencing that. And so I think both sides of that spectrum that I've identified, not saying that that's not some sort of gospel truth of anything. It's just kind of what I've noticed. I think both parts are equally as important, equally as valuable, and in ex just this having this earthly experience, having a body that can experience that, whatever element of consciousness we can pull away from and just say, oh, hey, I'm having a thought. What we call that mindfulness, you know, you're just watching the thoughts come through and watching the feelings come through. And then there's the other side of it where you are immersed in it, and it's just everything that's going on is you're just letting it kind of control and flow through. And it brings me to this idea that I keep coming, it keeps popping up in my mind of the being a rock in a river. The rock is immersed by this water. It's not attached to other rocks. It's not attached to anything. And the river will flow around it as it needs to. And as the river gets stronger and gets, there's more flow, more energy pushing that rock, it'll move down the river, it'll move down the way until it finds a nice resting spot where it sits there and just lets the water rush by it again. And I think the same thing in life happens to us where we have times where we're just sitting and watching. We're just watching the energy, feeling the energy happen around us, feeling the things that are going on. And then there's times where we are immersed and going and flowing down the river with the with or flowing down with the river and allowing the energy just to push us through. Kept getting that imagery from our conversation.
Yeah, I think I go between the two. I think the only reason that I've gone into this immersion is because the other wasn't working because of memory loss. Because all, the way that I remember things got all wonky, and it's like I was being forced to slow it down instead of trying to do it like how I think I remember it. And I think there are moments like where it's more useful to be that, to be above the noise, to just observe it from outside of it, which is most of the time, I think. And then there's a time to really just lean into the stuff because there's something that you're missing. Because I think people have that experience of probably the reason why people are less and less attracted to law of attraction, because they only teach that one level of like detaching and observing and being love and light, being like the focus is to just always be in this space, in that space of above the noise and in the being of it. But because people have attempted that and then they don't get the results or whatever, there's things that are harder to manifest than other things. These are just things that either they take longer because you don't believe it, you're not, you don't really, you don't buy it, which adds to the whole idea of this doesn't work. And the disbelief, it's not adding to your, because I think the law of attraction requires like a list of evidence, like the practice, like the feeling, the experience that you can manifest. And if you start to collect like all these pieces of evidence, that boosts your confidence, and that has other things be more believable. $1 is the same as $1 million, right? That whole vibe. And I think that is the purpose, the goal that you want to. But it's so easy for people to attempt that with things that, that are more difficult for them to believe. But what you're reinforcing in your mind is the disbelief, because it doesn't matter how much you say your mantras or your I am statements. You don't believe it, you're just reinforcing it. So I think those are the times where you want to be with the thing more, like, what is it that's keeping me from not believing this? Where does this stem from? Like, can I trigger the emotion that's blocking this thing from coming through, right? What's the barrier? Can I give shape to it? Can I love it? Can I give it the attention it needs so that I can receive this thing that I want, right? That's where we want to give it more, the attention. But yeah, it's a lot more effective to be just immediately in the being, in the fully owning it. And like I said, I just think I've been forced into this because at some point, because I know the moment I stop believing is the first time I ever fainted. I think that was the moment, because my brain was already affected at that point and I didn't know it. But that was the moment for me where I was like, control anymore over my life. So yeah, so there, and then from there was just 8 years of adding to I don't have control. I can't be helped and all this stuff, being abandoned, being just like my whole world view. So it's like all these years worth of things that I've accumulated unconsciously because I was blacked out for most of it that I'm working through now to undo, so that I can learn how to receive again, so I can remember how to receive like I used to so easily. Yeah.
Kind of brings me to this concept of this of going back to stick work. I kept, as you were talking, I kept thinking of this idea that was brought up to me of following the light, following what calls our attention. You were talking about law of attraction. And I think, and I don't, I'm not studied in all the different teachings, but the way that I see would define law of attraction is, what am I attracted to? What's attract what is calling to me? What is drawing my attention? And am I willing to follow that? Can I take down the fear and the barriers to follow what's actually calling my attention? And a lot of times what's calling my attention and my desires are going to be one and the same. And I just have to break down those beliefs and just trust and be a little bit impulsive sometimes just to follow that. And the same thing happens with, so I also got this thought of stick work. So when I'm working through somebody's body with these sticks, I am asking the person to relax. I'm asking them to submit, to surrender to the work that's happening, to surrender to their emotions, to surrender to the things that are being brought to the surface, the things that they were stuffing down and holding in that tension inside their body. You know, because we have these things that are that call to our attention in life, there are a lot of other things that don't get that attention. So when we start getting a pain in our body, it's our body saying, hey, I need your energy. I need your attention. I need you to focus on me for a little bit. But a lot of times we don't want to focus on that. We want to find the thing that's going to feed our dopamine and draw our attention and get us focused in. So in this stick work, that's what I'm helping people do. I'm saying, hey, you've been holding on to this tension. You've been storing this energy in this area, and I need you to focus on this for a little bit so that you can release it and be free of these things that you haven't been feeling in your life. And a lot of times that's the surrender to feel the emotions, to feel the anger, the sadness, those things that we don't find pleasant in our life. It's asking us to, whenever I'm doing this, I'm asking someone, hey, can you surrender to what you are actually feeling, what's going on inside, and allow yourself to just be overwhelmed and completely consumed by that experiential energy that we stuff down, we push away, we say, I don't want to experience that. And I think life does the same thing to us. It says, hey, you have been ignoring this. I'm going to shove a stick in you, and this point of tension, the point of highest tension in your life, until you surrender and say, okay, I give up. And then suddenly you relax, and the pain goes away because that tension's no longer there to serve as a pain point.
Yeah, which is what I think is like the pitfall, of only trying to be in the being, is that people will try to ignore things that actually do need our attention. And then it just accumulates, it builds, and all this stuff. So, like, the reason that I'm in the mess that I am now, because I was that, like, only 100% love and light. I would die on that hill. That's the only way. You have to, ignore everything else. And there was so much that I was ignoring, suppressing, and trying to, that I couldn't get in touch with because I lacked the emotions, the sensitivity to energy, and what was happening. I just ignore, just keep my head up in the clouds. Keep my head in the light, keep the focus. And I was moving too far too fast. I did not have the emotional maturity for that. I didn't have the perspective. I didn't have the groundedness that I've gotten, that I've gained out of being in this stuff. I think being able to be in this stuff does result in being able to more groundedly be in that whole love and light. Because if you can master this stuff, there's nothing that's going to faze you. There's nothing that you can't understand and hold and transmute and bring to light and make your ally. You really, truly do become unmessable with.
Yeah, and I've definitely had the same experience in life. Like, I hated anger as a kid because my dad was angry. And so I worked to stuff that anger down, to find ways to not be angry, and shoved it down and stuffed it and stuffed it and stuffed it until, I came to a point where life stuck that stick in me and I burst out in anger. And I had that experience. And I had to be overwhelmed by all the feelings I had stuffed down for years. But and I and when I found breath work and I found all my somatic body work, I was like, here's my answer. I don't have to feel this anymore. I'm going to make myself high on my breath all the time. It's going to be great. But that I was using it for the wrong reasons again. I wasn't using it to feel. I was using it to get rid of. And that wasn't helping me really understand the emotion or helping me be in that dark place that and just know that I can be in a dark place and be okay. It was just getting me high in some in a lot of ways.
I remember one time you saying, I don't want to get rid of this anymore. Like I don't want to just get rid of the feeling. You got to that point where you really wanted to be with the stuff that you were going through.
And I don't know if that's the right way or the wrong way or whatever. I can't say that, but I think for me, I just wanted to feel life. I wanted to understand what these emotions are, and I didn't want to hide from them anymore.
That's
And
the
it's
big theme of where people are like having trouble with the idea of detachment is they're like, I don't want to get rid of that. I've already numbed myself for, most of my life. Like I want to feel this stuff. I want to have the emotions. I want to be human,
And I think that's where we take like our own given concepts, we're going to put into whatever method we're using in life. The method isn't going to save us. And at least this is my opinion, but I don't believe the method will ever save us. It is stepping, it's how we use the method and our how we are relaxing through just feeling that I think is going to give us. And I don't even think it's saving. I don't know that we really need to be saved from anything outside of can we learn to trust? Can we learn to relax and trust that our experience is going to be okay? And that's a really hard thing for a lot of people. A lot of people have been traumatized and have suffered through really tough things, especially as kids and teenagers. And so saying, yeah, relax, because everything's going to be okay. That you can't tell someone that because that is not in their belief system. And so what they have developed in their life is their protection. And I think honoring that protection, honoring that conditioned state that they're in is the best way to help them navigate life. And then once they trust that protection that they have is something that's serving them, then maybe they can start to change, have a desire to change whatever it is. And it's really that relaxation and the desire to experience something different, in my opinion, that changes who we are, changes what we it just changes our conditioned state. What we got.
Yeah,
So
that was a good one.
it sure was.
That was a
Well,
good one.
shifties.
I hope you appreciate it, Shifties.
Shifties, we love y'all. And
Yeah, we love
we
you.
want to know your experience too. So if you guys have been listening, let us know what you thought.
Yeah, comment. Tell us, what do you want to hear more of, maybe, so that we're not just talking to ourselves. Talk to us. I totally want to hear. I want to know what y'all are thinking.
Yep. If you guys have more to add on the perspectives that we've shared,
Yeah.
your perspective is just as valuable as ours.
Yeah.
Love y'all.
Love
Be
you.
amazing. Fan the shift.
That's right. The end.
Let the shift hit the fan. Let the shift hit the fan.